Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
As much as you'd love to give all the credit in the world to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens for finally beating the Chiefs, one thing is obvious. This was all about the Chiefs. With an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, this is supposed to be easy. But a ridiculously soft run defense that relied on below-average linebackers to make plays because the defensive line was just getting mauled, well, that's not going to work. The result? 251 yards rushing for the Ravens after they finally figured out Lamar Jackson throwing the ball is a bad idea. Still, the Chiefs had this down one with their offense on the field, marching. You knew how it was going to end, right? Until it didn't. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, another weak spot on this team, fumbles, and the Ravens get the ball back. Converting a fourth down to win it was fairly easy for the Ravens when Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman are all the defense you have to stop Lamar Jackson getting 1 yard. This game hurt. It was won. You can't say the better team lost because the Chiefs' defense was truly so bad, it reminded everyone of KC defenses of old. There's a lot of work to do this year. Stan Weber joins us to break it down and discuss the only 2-0 teams in the AFC, surprisingly, the Raiders and the Broncos. We'll also touch on K-State's big win Saturday and lopsided games in Columbia and Lawrence. Brought to you by Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that can save you thousands off your utilities. Check them out online at EliteAutomate.com. Call Brad or one of his team members at Elite Automation at 913-766-2188 and make your building great again with Elite Automation. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Customers at Roberts Robinson say, we just make it easy. Ask for Mike Robinson or Tim Trader on the showroom floor. They're buddies of mine, and they'll help you get exactly the ride you're looking for, whether it's brand new from Chevy, Buick, or GMC, or one of their pre-owned cars on the lot. They can help you get the ride and get you financed. It's so easy at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Hey, man, this is the time of year. You want to get that driveway sealed? It's a perfect time. You can add years of life to your driveway to keep it from chipping, flaking, cracking. Seal XP is an excellent product that John Hutchins will put on your driveway to help you get years of life out of your concrete. Or maybe it's time to get that new amazing garage floor. They're really great to have. Online at AmazingGarageFloors.net or call 913-901-7139. And, of course, bstock.net, the place for electronics. Anything electronic, Dell computers, MacBook Pros, Samsung TVs, typically about 30% less than Best Buy or Nebraska Furniture Mart. It's the only way to go. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe or online anytime, anywhere at bstock.net. Well, this feels like a game the Chiefs certainly should have won, and they got a lot of work to do. It's early in the year, there's no real damage done, but wow, is this defense awful. On KKHI, hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Well, our conversation is with Stan Weber, and we've got quite a football weekend to discuss. Of course, for Chiefs, that means heartbreak. After the defense just collapses and gives up 251 yards rushing to the Ravens. Stan, at least it was entertaining, but what a disaster to have an 11-point lead over a team that you've basically owned in the fourth quarter and not be able to bring it home.
Big missed opportunity, and it just shows that the NFL is an unbelievable product. It's going to be hard to win games. That's, even when you're one of the best teams, you got to get used to close games. And Kevin, go back and look at last year. What was the story? The Chiefs had a ton of close games last year, even though they won time after time after time. And you think there's no way they're ever going to lose. And I didn't think they were going to lose until Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled. And even then, there was still a chance that they could stop the Ravens to get the ball back, and they would have went down and won the game. But you look at the last two games, Kevin, and the Chiefs could easily be 1-1 and have lost either game. The Browns have their disaster on their hands. They had the lead, the football. Chubb fumbled. Chiefs got the ball. And the Chiefs came back in the fourth quarter and won that game. Chiefs could have lost that game. They could have won this one. They probably deserve to be 1-1. We're so used to them being 2-0. But anytime you have an 11-point lead late in the third quarter and you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it is fair to say you got to win that game. And when you look down there, from the one game microcosm, you can't lose a game like that.
Okay, so I'm not, I don't think I'm nitpicking today. I've got some issues with the Chiefs that they clearly have to clean up. Now, this is no disaster. We're only 2 weeks in. They're 1-1. There's only a couple of teams in the AFC that are 2-0. So, look, we know the Chiefs can be a good team, and they can have an outstanding record, and they can still accomplish everything they want to accomplish. But there's some things wrong with the Chiefs that I'm a little concerned they're not going to be able to fix. Let's start with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not just the fumble, okay? 13 carries for 46 yards, and they're wanting to use this guy as some sort of a feature back. With the game on the line, they're handing it to him. That ball was not tucked away. He didn't have two arms on it. I understand they're still trying to get a few more yards for a field goal, but I feel a little ripped off. That was a cheap fumble, Stan. If you're going to fumble the football, that's a cheap one. A guy that's not really hitting you just kind of reaches in, and the ball's in your left hand, and it squirts loose like that. Look, he's not been a fumbler. I'm not going to pick on the guy for his ball security, at least at this point. You and I have talked about this. I do not feel good enough about the Chiefs' running game. They need a running back, and I don't feel like they have one.
Well, Kevin, aren't all your podcasts still available many, many, many times over?
Yes.
So they could go listen to our last conversation. I think it was last Monday. I don't know how the podcast world works, but I think it was last Monday that we spoke, and you asked me about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Maybe I was a little bit too hard on him. But, you know, the simple thing that I said then was every time the Chiefs drop back and don't keep the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands to throw, I think the opponent's like, okay, we'll deal with this. I mean, bring it on. Bring Clyde Edwards-Helaire on. Bring this new offensive line on. You got to combine the two, Kevin. I am on with you. I said last week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a dominant back. He's just serviceable. So I agree with all of that. This is the first time he fumbled. It was 2nd and 3. There's a ton of time left on the clock, more than a minute. There's nothing wrong with calling a running play in that situation. It wasn't 2nd and 9. So it's just a bad break. Just like I said, the Cleveland Browns had Chubb with the football. He got it punched out, and that really cost the Cleveland Browns last week. So that type of thing can happen. But two things are worth noting, Kevin. The offensive line, which a lot of people thought because it's revamped and they always love the new guys and act like everything's fixed, I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, the two tackles that they had in the previous few years, Kevin, were really top-level NFL pros. They may have not have been Pro Bowl every week, but they were very, very good. And now you don't have those guys. And that's a giant step backwards. Now, everyone just compares to the Super Bowl game only and the kind of line that they had, the makeshift situation they're in, and saying they're going to be better. But they got a bunch of rookies. Their tackles are not dominating. They're really... really only blocking in a way and against the pass rush that forces the guys to run around the back, which means that Patrick Mahomes almost always has to step up in the pocket, Kevin. And so far, the middle three, the better part of the offensive line, have allowed him to do that. But you're taking away a lot of his options when he can't ever spill it out to the side. So I think the offensive line is a little bit more of a problem than everyone says, and it goes back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the running game. They're not a dominant running team. This is not a dominant offensive line. And the running back is just, to me, like a lot of other backs in the league. And we saw it last night. We got a good running system, well-designed, an offensive line that gets off the ball and blocks. Kevin, the no-name running backs that the Ravens were using and throwing in there on the game had a fine game. You know, Williams averaged 5.9 yards a carry, Murray 4 yards a carry. So I don't separate Clyde Edwards-Helaire from a lot of backs in the league. He's okay. He's a starting back, but he's really not going to hurt people. So your concerns with the running game of the Chiefs, I think, are real. Something that they're going to have to overcome. Not a big problem. Okay, the Chiefs got into the 30s. They had a pick six, right, as part of the 35, but they should have kicked the field goal at the end. They should have ended up with 31 points and only 9 or 10 possessions. The offense is going to be fine, even with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But if you want to put a focus on there, include the offensive line with him, Kevin, when you put the question marks together.
The offensive line last week, 1 week into the season, graded out as one of the worst in the NFL, and the tackles were ranked 63 and 64 out of 64 tackles in the league for snaps that you win. These advanced stats, did you win your snap or did you not? The Chiefs' offensive line is really bad. Now, I'm going to say something that nobody else would say. Everybody in the league likes to copy the Chiefs' offense. We've known this for the last 3 years. They copy everything the Chiefs do. All these offenses are doing it. It is time for the Chiefs to copy about 10 or 15 plays that the Los Angeles Rams have. Matthew Stafford and what they're doing in LA now is so different, and it's perfect for what the Chiefs could do with Patrick Mahomes. They move him out of the pocket. They run misdirection. They fake the ball like they're running to the right. Then he kind of goes backwards, still has the ball, bootlegs, rolls out left. He had, Stan, there were plays yesterday where Matthew Stafford has like over 5 seconds to throw the ball because the way the play is designed is buying him time to roll out of the pocket in a designed roll where nobody's in his face and he can see the entire field. The Chiefs love to take Mahomes straight back and then let him improvise from there. Then he decides whether he's going to go left or right. I'd like to offer up, and I'd like to think that Andy Reid has some designed plays in this playbook for him to just flat roll out of the pocket and get into space, and that is the play. Instead of the play breaking down, or as Travis Kelce said last week, we just make stuff up. Instead of that, have a design play where you have more time. I'm seeing the Rams do it more and more, and there's no reason that can't work for the Chiefs.
Yeah, you just don't want to be predictable when you do it, and the Rams, that's their bootleg game. And a lot of people know it's coming, and Belichick completely stuffed it in the Super Bowl when the Rams made it there a couple years ago. But there's no reason why you can't have that into your playbook. Right now, Kevin, like you said, they like him dropping straight back from a strategic point of view because they don't want to make this field smaller. You know, they don't want him to roll out and therefore not have full utilization of everything in front of him. But one of the things that fits in with that, Kevin, and why you might want to do a little more rolling out, like you're saying, bootleg, because he can throw the ball to the other side of the field. He'll keep his eyes open and has the arm strength and accuracy to get the ball everywhere. So you could do it with Patrick Mahomes. But one reason why you might consider getting out of the pocket in that fashion is what I said. If you go back and watch the Chiefs right now, Kevin, and if you want to just wait till you see the Chargers in the next game, Bosa's going to be rushing the quarterback like crazy. The Chiefs right now are inviting you with their offensive tackles to say, go around on the outside. And when you do, you're going to make a circle type of move, like you're running along a circle, okay? And you're going to end up being about 10 yards from where the ball was snapped, and that means you're going to be behind Patrick Mahomes. It's a fair strategy. It's worked in the NFL forever. But really, it seems like they do it every time, Kevin. They rarely just lock on and square up and keep the edge with their offensive tackles. It seems like they're always in that position, which means Patrick can't ever use the variability of saying, I'm going to sit here at 8 yards for a second, and I'm going to scoop back. You know how many times he's retreated and gone slightly back and then found his spot around? He doesn't have that option. You know where he has to go now when he's looking? Every time he's got to step up in the pocket, which means if you want to get to the outside, you got to step up and then angle over, and then you got to worry about a guy being behind you, reversing his path, hitting you from behind. So again, I don't see the variability of the offensive line blocking. I don't see the tackles ever, just once in a while, stopping the outside pass rush, just stoning him and making a wall and a nice little clean cup where Patrick Mahomes can meander to his left, his right, any angle and throw. And if that's the case, maybe you do something like you're talking about. You can get that tackle block by bumping a tight end on him, pushing him inside and letting that tackle, therefore, with a bootleg motion, get to the outside. We'll have to see how it goes. I just think the offensive line right now is functioning at a very average level, and it's starting to affect things. And then let's hand it to the Ravens in many fronts. You got to give the Ravens a lot of credit. And one of them is like a snake with a different skin because they don't like playing zone defense and having two safeties back. They like blitzing and playing man-to-man, and has not been a good formula against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, especially with Tyreek Hill running around. And these guys decided last night, we're just going to have to try to do it like Tampa Bay does. We're going to have to keep some guys back here, take Tyreek Hill out of the game, and see if that'll work. And the Ravens really adjusted and played a different style, kind of left-handed, and got by with it on defense, barely.
Well, you know, Patrick Mahomes has played a lot of great games, Stan. I really thought this was one of his better games. I know he had the interception that he's beaten himself up over. He had a 131 rating, 24 of 31 for 343 and three touchdowns with very little offensive line play and no run game. I mean, that's just insane. They're playing this defense against him. They took Tyreek Hill away, but he still finds a way, and he found a lot of different players. Pringle with the touchdown, Kelce with the ridiculous touchdown. I mean, just a man's play. They still find a way to score points, so it's hard really to nitpick at the offense, but there comes a point when you want to win a football game, and you have the lead. And I think the Chiefs aspire to be the team that has the 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, that it's not always going to be Mahomes coming from behind. You have to get physical and run the football. And the Chiefs weren't even physical on the defensive side. Their defensive line got mauled at the line of scrimmage. They're asking Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman to tackle Lamar Jackson, who's running right and left all over him once they figured out he can't really pass the football very well. Hitchens and Neiman and those guys aren't good enough to do that. This defense has got some real problems from a physical standpoint. They talked about missed tackles and not tackling. To me, a lot of the missed tackles were they're just not physical enough. Is this defense tough enough?
This defense isn't very good right now, and it reminds us of what we were saying about the Chiefs a couple years ago. Last year seemed to be the 2 years ago at the final part of the season, the defense started playing better, right? But still, remember, they came from behind in all of those playoff games. We act like it was an easy run and the defense dominated, but the Texans were just gashing the Chiefs in a lot of different ways. So the defense has always been an issue, but this reminds you of three seasons ago and in Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starter or the year before that and when Bob Sutton was the defensive coordinator. And they've got some choices to make. Here's an interesting thing to think about. Okay, Chris Jones has a defensive end type of body, and he'll be a fine NFL defensive end. So switching him to defensive end is fine to put him in that position. But to do it to say we have good enough tackles up front to replace him and they'll be just as effective and then he'll light things up on the outside is not the proper equation. You took a guy, like if it's a baseball player, you know, you took a great second baseman and you made him a third baseman. You took a great defensive tackle and made him a defensive end. I'm okay with this. I think it'll work, but it's not because the defensive tackles are as good as he was, and then we're going to add to it with his play on the defensive end. The first two games, Kevin, were against two of the best, if not the two best running teams in the NFL. Okay, so they're going to expose the Chiefs' weakness, which is the run defense. And Chris Jones, as a defensive tackle, could give you a chance to blow some stuff up once in a while. At defensive end, he's not going to be able to do that. He's there to pass rush, and most teams are going to pass, but the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens are willing to run, and it's going to put the Chiefs in a bind because now they don't have one of their best players playing their best position. How would you like to have Salvador Perez play first base every game, Kevin? Every game. I like having his bat in the game, but you'll miss him as a catcher.
Yeah.
Okay? That's kind of the same thing. Chris Jones is like the catcher, that defensive tackle position, and I bragged him up about how he made that play from behind on a screen pass against the Browns is one of the biggest plays in the game. He did a nice job in the Browns game. This time on that fourth down play, he got down inside almost like a defensive tackle with the formation the Ravens had on the fourth down play, the last play, effective play of the game, and he got driven back 3 yards, Kevin. You know, he didn't have the mentality of that defensive tackle to go blow things up. They ran right over him. So he did not have a good game. You're seeing some exposure there. The Chiefs defense is a problem. The run defense is a big problem. And then it leads to some problems in the pass because they had 10 guys at times within 3 yards of the ball, Kevin. They had everyone up there. And it still didn't matter, which allowed some easy pass game for the Ravens as well. So I think the Ravens are a tougher matchup for the Chiefs than everyone gives credit for. I've always thought that was a dangerous team to play. But everyone kind of poo-pooed it away and say, oh, because Lamar Jackson is going to get third down and eight sometime in the game, he's going to make a mistake. And he did. But I think the coaches for the Ravens have made a big mistake playing the Chiefs the last few years and getting away from the running game. This time they did not get away from the running game, kept pounding it. And the Chiefs don't have a very good answer right now. I think the Chiefs are – go ahead.
I think you're right, except they did come out passing. I had no idea what the Ravens were doing at the start of that game. Like, they came out throwing the ball around again. I'm like, what are you doing? Just run against the Chiefs. I don't know why they seem to want to believe that Lamar Jackson is something that he isn't. He is not Patrick Mahomes. They're completely different players. That doesn't mean Lamar Jackson can't be a great player. He's just a completely different player, and I don't understand what the Ravens did at the start, and I felt like their hand was forced. You know, he comes out and he turns it over and the pick six and it's going poorly. Well, of course you're going to go to the run at that point because you don't want him to throw five picks. But I felt like their hand was forced almost.
And finally, you know, you go back and look at the Ravens versus the Chiefs when it looked like MVP against MVP, that quarterback matchup, and the Ravens couldn't resist throwing the ball as much as they ran. Seriously, Kevin, it's slightly more throws than run is about where they usually end up. And you're shaking your head going, as a Ravens fan, going, what the heck are you guys doing? Finally, this time, they ran the ball 41 times and threw it only 26. That's a ratio they should use with Lamar Jackson in games like this and what the Chiefs do not want to see. So the Chiefs could have won the game. I thought they were going to win the game all day long. Like you said, what's unacceptable is to be 11 points up and not get it done. The offense is going to be fine. The offensive line is going to have issues, but they'll work around that with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The offense is going to function fine this year. The defense has some problems. I don't think they have Chris Jones at his best position, and they do have some issues on the defensive side. So it's going to be a high-scoring game, most games, a shootout, probably close games, and I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC, the best team in the AFC West, even though the AFC West is better improved. But, Kevin, I'll present this to you. I did last week a little bit based on one of your questions. You asked about, you know, who are the top 10 players on the field, and there were a lot of Cleveland Browns in there, as many as seven Cleveland Browns. But the Chiefs are a team that is made up of superstars. And you're talking about, first of all, elite in the league superstars with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Then at the superstar level and very near that is Tyrann Mathieu. And then there's Chris Jones, who's a big-time player. Other than that, there's not a guy on the team that's not just a guy that could be traded for any other player in the NFL from any team, bring him on, and you'd have the same production. So it's something to think about. The superstars have got to play elite-level football for the Chiefs. And right now, you got to make sure your offensive line is good enough to let Patrick Mahomes function. I still think they probably are, but they're not a dominant offensive line. You don't have a dominant running back. There's no one else on the team who's dominant. So Tyrann Mathieu is going to make his big plays. And I think Chris Jones, he's a variable. Like, how many big plays is he going to make? He made some against Cleveland. He made zero against the Ravens. And that's going to make a difference to the Chiefs. But this is a top-heavy team, like few in the NFL. They rely on those five guys to go win the game.
They do. And I was mentioning to a friend last night, I'm really worried about the future of the Chiefs. And I shouldn't be. We're in a season. I shouldn't be thinking big picture like this. But I think most Chiefs fans look at Patrick Mahomes and say, hey, he's going to be here a long, long time, and the Chiefs are going to win 3, 4, 5 Super Bowls. I think most Chiefs fans believe that. But what you just described is the same thing that I believe, and I'm really worried about what happens here after Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are not here, because it is not a given that the Chiefs are just going to be able to draft another superstar wide receiver or tight end, and Mahomes is just going to have this going. And somebody said, yeah, but Mahomes is so great, this and that. I said, well, so's Aaron Rodgers, and so's Russell Wilson. And they've each got one. They've each won one Super Bowl. And there's no guarantee either one of them is going to win another one. You got to have the pieces, too. And this window is right here, right now. And that's why I get so frustrated when teams are running up and down the field for 251 on the Chiefs, because now is the time to take advantage of what they have.
Yeah, and let me add to that comment that I said, plus what you said there. I'm not criticizing the front office and what they're doing. With salary cap football, you've got to make choices. So they've done a number of things to get players that are good enough to be legitimate NFL players around the lineup. That's good work. Okay, so I'm not cutting down the Chiefs staff. This isn't like a bunch of bad players. It's a bunch of average players with the superstars. But the window is the key thing that you and I put our thoughts together, and it's about the window. Because right now, do you really look at the Seahawks with Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, quarterback and coach, do you really think, as you're watching the NFL unfold in a couple of weeks playing, wow, I think Seattle's going to be in a Super Bowl this year? No. I don't think you think that. I don't think anybody listening to us is sitting there going, well, I hope the Chiefs make the Super Bowl and are going to play Seattle because they got Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. No. It has cycled through enough, the rest of the lineup. Russell Wilson is still great and magical, but there are not enough guys around him that you worry about the Seahawks making the Super Bowl at all. This window is open because of Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. Okay? So those four guys make the Chiefs Super Bowl level for that window. But how long is it going to stay open? How long is Tyreek Hill going to be elite with his quick twitches? And how long is Kelce going to be able to play? Even this season, the biggest scare I have is that one of those two guys are injured when it gets to the playoffs. And I don't think the Chiefs are the favorite to go win the Super Bowl if Hill and Kelce are not both available, Kevin. I think you can get your arms around Patrick Mahomes. He'll do fine, and it'll be right down to the last second. But I do not look at the Chiefs as the favorite to go win the Super Bowl without the big three, and not including the coaching of Andy Reid, but the big three on offense. But if those three guys are healthy, the Chiefs are still the best team in the NFL. Not by a lot. It's going to be close, but they'll go find a way to win. But your point that I agree with is this window is not going to stay open forever. These are not young guys in NFL terms other than Patrick Mahomes.
All right, let's talk about the division. The AFC West is the only two teams in the AFC that are undefeated are the Raiders and the Broncos. The Chargers take a loss to the Cowboys yesterday, and I like the Cowboys. You love the Cowboys. I get that. I don't know why. I've just kind of always liked the Cowboys entertain me. They just do, and their games are fun to watch. I think that was a big win. The Cowboys win was a big deal for the Chiefs because I think ultimately the Chargers are the threat in the division, although I don't know. The Raiders look pretty good. Carr looks like maybe he's getting better under John Gruden. What are your thoughts on the division? What did you see in the Chargers game? I know that the young quarterback Herbert made a couple of bad throws, had a couple of bad negative plays in the second half of that game. What do you see out of the AFC West, and maybe in particular, let's start with the Cowboys' win over the Chargers?
Much improved on the AFC West overall. Specifically, well, let's go to the Chargers. I think the Chargers should be, and probably still is, the most likely team to give a tussle to the Chiefs for a division crown. I still think the Chiefs are going to win the division. And that's not something you should just spit at and act like, oh, yeah, everybody knows that. Remember, it wasn't 5 years ago. They never won two divisions in a row in their history, Kevin. Let's don't just act like this is easy. So I'd still give the Chiefs a ton of credit to be the best team, and the Chargers are probably the most likely of the other three to give them some trouble. And it starts with this next game, right? The Chiefs host the Chargers. If the Chargers are able to come in and beat the Chiefs and force the Chiefs to be 1-2 and question themselves a little bit and get a win on the road, then there'll be a real threat. So you can stamp out this little fire right now as a Chiefs football team by beating the Chargers. Herbert is really good. The receiving core is really good. The running game is just average to below, but their defense is well put together. James, in safety, has been injured the last year and was not a factor. He's back along with Bosa, so they have a couple of big play defenders. They're very sound in what they do on the defensive side. And they play the Chiefs well. You usually play better against division foes, Kevin. That's just what a great part of football, that your division just studies you so much that they feel more comfortable even against the elite Chiefs offense. So I think the Chargers do a good job of kind of setting the tone with what Tampa Bay did in the Super Bowl. The Chargers kind of do that to the Chiefs all the time, create little problems and make the Chiefs offense struggle to go win the ball game. But, Kevin, I've talked to you so often, and I don't disagree with you, but you are the leader of this statement. Tell me who the coach and the quarterback are, okay? Of our listeners, I don't know how many of them can even name the Chargers coach right now. Okay, so there's a giant question mark right there, and I think it matters. Andy Reid's coaching staff against the Chargers' new coaching staff, I wonder about that. But from talent-wise and what Herbert did yesterday and what he did last year, he's a real threat. He can fire the ball down, and he probably makes as many throws that only Patrick Mahomes can make in the NFL. Some of the spots that he can throw the ball on a line 40 yards, no problem. On a line 40 yards and hit a back shoulder throw. He seems to be very, very accurate, and he's big and strong, can run if he needs to. The Chargers are a legitimate opponent, probably the best. Get ready. Denver's not an awful group of players. They got some defensive players that can play at a high level. Teddy Bridgewater, he may not be your quarterback of the future, and he may not even make it through this 17-game schedule. But, Kevin, when he's on and locked in and lets the game come to him and doesn't force things, he's just fine. And he's played very good in the first two ball games. And then I think the Raiders, they have something that's interesting because Gruden, I told you when he came back he wasn't going to dominate. You remember that many, many years ago? How long has he been doing it now? God, he's sixth year coach or something?
Been a while.
I don't know for sure, but when he came back from announcing, I said, hey, the game had advanced. It's not easy. He's not just going to walk out there. But that said, that cut down statement maybe I made when they paid him maybe the most money ever to a coach in history. Did they make a 10-year commitment to him that was off the charts? I said, let's tap the brakes. I'm not worried about the Raiders for a while. But that said, he's a legitimate head coach, and he's learning some things. Waller is a tight end that they can throw to at any point. And I like their quarterback play more than most do, Kevin. I think the Raiders' quarterback play is better than most think, and they have some heat down the field. They have some Tyreek Hill-type speed to throw the ball deep. Did you see that ball to Ruggs when the game was on the line and the Steelers were kind of coming back and looking like they're going to do what they did to the Bills the week before, and the Raiders said, no, we're good enough to go get it. So I think winning at Pittsburgh was a big deal. Fighting the Ravens the way they did on that Monday night game should get them some confidence. I think you're going to see a better version of the Raiders. Denver probably is going to be the fourth best, but there's no reason why with a 17-game schedule and only six division games, Kevin, out of 17, all four teams might have a winning record this year. That's how good I think they are.
Well, the other teams are all getting better, and this is no knock on the Chiefs. When you just won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the Chiefs aren't really getting better. I mean, they're really, really good, but it's hard to get better than being the best. The other teams are catching up, and Derek Carr clearly is getting better under John Gruden. I don't know how they've connected or what it is they've done. He's clearly become a better player, and he's not losing games at the end. He's not committing the terrible turnovers in the fourth quarter to cost his team the games. He's winning games, and I think they're all dangerous. I don't think there's an easy game out there for the Chiefs. I just know this. If they don't shore up their defense, the Chiefs are going to lose some more games. They're not going on some kind of a 14-3 run this year if they can't fix their defense. I thought it was ugly. I'll tell you what else was ugly. And that, look, I think the Dallas Cowboys are a good football team. But the last 30 seconds of that thing, I don't know what they were doing. Do you just let the clock run for a 56-yard field goal? What exactly happened at the end of that game with Mike McCarthy? And how dangerous is that for Dallas? Because they're going to be in a lot of close games. They don't seem to manage it well at the end.
Well, they don't manage it well at all. And Dak Prescott is just a warrior, okay, in his athletic ability, his accuracy throwing the ball. Kevin, he's turned himself into an elite quarterback after that bad injury he had last year and then a shoulder injury. But I tell you what, the Cowboys on offense look a little bit like the Chiefs. When I was watching their game, I mean, every play's fun to watch. I mean, you're not surprised that they're gaining 15 yards, are you? I mean, they got a lot of things going on. They have a lot of weapons. And Dak's able to put things together, but they just are not well coached. And they make the dumbest mistakes you could ever imagine. For instance, they have a special teams coach who has a big ego. Okay, he's been a big-time special teams coach in the NFL, and he has a big ego, and somehow he wants to make the special teams make a play in the game. He thinks it's very important. And he also, for some reason, has carte blanche to go tell Mike McCarthy what they're going to do. On the last play of the previous week's game, when the Cowboys had one play and needed a touchdown from 75 yards away, right, the ball at the 25, you realize Dak Prescott was not on the field, Kevin? This is last week. No, Dak Prescott wasn't. You know why? No, stick with me on this.
Okay.
This is real life. This really happened, okay? Because the special teams coach had a group of 11 players that he'd been working with on a rugby type of thing. We're going to just keep rugbying it back and forth and pitching the ball and hoping we can be like Stanford going through the Cal band. Okay, we're going to practice this way. This is dead serious. He let the special teams coordinator run the last play of the game against Tampa Bay. Okay? Now, what does this guy do? Finally, they stop the Chargers, which is a miracle to stop them, and the Chargers send their punt team out at midfield. Okay? Cowboys are going to get the ball. I don't care if the Cowboys get the ball at the 1 or the 50-yard line, Kevin. Their offense is elite, and it is hot. And Dak Prescott is moving the ball, and their running game is working well. All you want them to do is punt, right? I mean, leave your defense out there and just fair catch the ball and get the offense out. The only thing you don't want to do is have a penalty. So guess what Dallas chooses to do? The special teams coordinator wants to make a big play. From midfield, he goes for an all-out block. I mean, those 10 guys are fighting to get in there and block that kick, and they're diving, and guess what they do? Wipe out the punter. They wiped out the punter on a 4th-and-9 because they thought, we're going to block a punt. How stupid are you? Okay, so the dysfunction that the special teams coordinator last year in the Falcons game, he called 2 fake punts in the first half. And they both didn't work. He goes over there and you watch on the sideline. He's in McCarthy's ear talking to him about game situations. what the heck? That's just one of the many things that are going. These are real life, not made up at all, Kevin. And these couple of them happened in the last 2 weeks. They almost lost the game because they went for a punt block when they shouldn't. So at the end of the game, right now they got a very good offensive coordinator. It's the old offensive system. It's not the new McCarthy system. But they just blew it down the end. You can't mess up that bad. They let the clock run out when they had 35 seconds, timeout left, and they were in Charger territory. And they basically sat there, looked at each other, and let the whole clock run out. And they got lucky that Zuerlein kicked a bomb of a 56-yard field goal, which, oh, by the way, was happening simultaneously with the Minnesota Vikings lining up for a 37-yard field goal, Kevin. I don't know if you were watching these two games.
I was
37-yard field goal. He misses it, and the Cowboys botch everything. And a guy who couldn't even make a PAT or a field goal against Tampa Bay, Zuerlein, old guy, he's been almost on injured reserve because he's injured during the preseason camp. He goes out there and drills a 56-yarder to win, and the Cowboys all hug each other like it was planned. These guys are must-see TV because they're a joke. They're run so poorly, but they have such good athletes.
They're so much fun to watch.
Every game's close. Every game's close, man. You never know what's going to happen. So I thought, hey, Chiefs fans, all my buddies were on board with me, man. We were all rooting for the same team yesterday. I was rooting for the Cowboys and against the Chargers, and they were all rooting at the Chargers. So we were all having a great time. But a big game this week because the Chiefs season is really front-loaded, Kevin. They played two of the real good teams that they might see in the AFC Championship game, and the other one, Buffalo, is just a couple of games down the road. So Cleveland-Baltimore, you know about. Chargers game, this is a giant game. If you're going to Arrowhead, man, you better yell loud. This is a giant game against a dangerous team. Then you go to Philly, who's not playing bad. Then you play Buffalo. Wow. The Chargers are maybe a team that could be thought about as an AFC Championship game opponent, too. So you're saying four of their first five games are against teams that they may play in the AFC Championship game. It is really a tough schedule. We take for granted that everything's going to go perfectly. Let's don't do that. This game against the Chargers is big. And one last comment on Patrick Mahomes. The interception he threw, hey, you can say it's dumb and bad and all those things that you want to. That's fine. But he's gotten away with it his whole career. And it didn't really hurt anything because it was third down, Kevin. If they would have punted a ball 35 yards further down the field, the Ravens which would just ran the ball a few plays and then back to that spot. So that was not a killer interception. It was on third down. Yep. So I don't want to bash him for that.
I agree. They might have gotten 20 more yards downfield if they punted it, 25, something like that. So that was not a very big play at all. Let's talk a little bit about your game you had on Saturday in Manhattan with Kansas State, because I thought it was a really good win for K-State. And, we have a lot of friends that love K-State football, Stan, you and I, and I'm hearing from some of them that this is boring. K-State can't throw it. They run. It's not very exciting. I don't know how many players Chris Klieman played in that game on Saturday, but it was pretty obvious he was going to have a fresh team in the fourth quarter against a very tired Nevada team in 90-degree heat, and they just lit them up handing the ball off in the fourth quarter. Look, Chris Klieman's job is to win football games, Stan, and right now he doesn't have a quarterback that can throw real well. If that's the case and you can line up and run it the way they did on Saturday, you take that. That's a good win. What'd you see out of Kansas State in that game?
Well, you said something. Well, diversity in the running game is still one of the worst and hardest things for defense to deal with. We saw it with the Chiefs and the Ravens coming at you with all different directions. You can say it's boring, it's not modern, and all those kind of things. That's fine, but it's still I remember being in a coach's office with Bob Stoops, and K-State was getting ready to play Nebraska, maybe for the second time or third time that Bob Stoops was there with Bill Snyder. And I started talking to him about, you're seeing more and more exotic offenses starting to appear at that point in history. And then there was Tom Osborne's, which is just kind of a running game, pretty much for an I formation. And I asked Bob, I said, well, how is this going to be to deal with? I mean, are you going to be fighting in a phone booth? Is it going to be about the physicality? Is it a little more straightforward? And he almost threw me out of the room. I mean, Bob Stoops had never been more mad at me. And even to this day, he never was more mad at me than when he just looked at me and the words he said about how stupid I was and didn't know anything about football, that Tom Osborne's intricate offensive running game is so elite, it's unbelievable. And so, you know, if you just take one step, if you're a defensive tackle and you take one step to your left, you may think it's going to work, but you may have taken yourself out of the play and given up a 7-yard run. Just one guy making a mistake, because the intricacy of what they're taking advantage of internally is calculus level football. But to us, didn't a lot of the Nebraska plays look the same?
Yeah.
Went to the eye back and let him go. And Bob Stoops, I mean, he just de-pants me right there with his eyes and a few words about, you know, like, get the hell out of here because of that. So that's what Courtney Massingham's doing. It may look boring to you, but it's effective because they are taking advantage of so many things on the inside. It's what North Dakota State did forever. And they won national championships by running the ball, controlling it, helping their defense. And then when the defense went out there, they've got to perform. Kevin, the big story really isn't the offense. The fact is the defense has gone through three legitimate offensive teams, three different styles, and they've done a great job against all three. They're doing it with a lot of players. So if you have injuries, if you have fatigue, like you spoke about, K-State is really gearing themselves up for 60 minutes of football and depth for the future and even this year with injuries by playing a bunch of guys. The big news, the biggest news without a doubt, is K-State's defense is a strength of the team. So you can match a running game and no turnovers and good special teams with a defense and win a lot of games. So if the defense wasn't good, then you got to start passing. You got to have a shootout. But the fans need to adapt and really understand K-State's defense is working at a high level. Chris Kleiman's a defensive guru, just like Bill Snyder was an offensive guru. He's a defensive guru, and he's over there working with those guys a lot, Kevin. He is there with Joe Klanderman. Those two guys have worked together. Joe Klanderman is very humble. He doesn't look at it as a cut down that the head coach is in there working with him. They are grinding to make that defense good. That is the big story. Offensively, the run game, the intricacy in the run game is all fine. But at some point, they're going to have to be able to throw the ball with effectiveness. I thought the biggest statement that came out, if K-State fans want to get their arms around what Will Howard might do for K-State, is the pass to Daniel Umatar-Bebe for 68 yards on the second play of the game, Kevin. He audibilized that play. Okay, so it's one thing to say, does he throw the ball downfield? Do the coaches believe in him and call it? The thing that you have to factor in, this guy's only a sophomore. When Skylar Thompson was only a sophomore, he wasn't even close to as good as he is now. So give this guy some room to grow. But his mental acumen and his physical ability and willingness to run the football, let's give the kid some credit. K-State got a 68-yard touchdown for two reasons. The quarterback walked up there, saw the look on the second play of the game, with all the pressure in the world, audible eyes to a pass and hit the guy in stride, and K-State had a 68-yard touchdown. In the second half, he did the same thing. It was a different tight end who didn't understand it completely and didn't run the exact right route, I believe, or he would have had two 60-yard touchdowns because he knew what was going on and where to strike. So this kid is calm, he's smart, and he is physical and able to run. Do they trust him throwing the ball downfield? No, they didn't. They need Skylar Thompson back in there to run the passing game to full bore. But they were the underdog. That was a tough game. There was a lot of adversity, and the kid made it through. Jaron Lewis showed that he's not too nervous to go out and play. He played the second quarter for K-State. Are they great in the passing game or on offense? No. But if they can find a way to win, not turn over the ball, complement their defense, there's no reason why, Kevin, they can't be a part of this. I mean, Oklahoma does not look dominant. Texas does not look dominant, but it starts this week. K-State's always played close games at OSU and almost always lost, except for one time when Skylar Thompson went down there a few years ago and upset a top 10 ranked Oklahoma State team. But OSU and K-State are mirrors of each other. Get ready. Both teams do not really want to throw the ball right now. They do not want to put their passing game into that kind of peril. They both want to run and play great defense, and they both have a claim to say, why not us for second place? Why can't we take Iowa State out and Texas, who was thought to be second and third? Why not us? And then not even giving it up to Oklahoma. It'll be hard to not pick Oklahoma right now, but TCU, West Virginia, who's played a hard schedule and done a nice job, K-State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, they all believe that they could be the second best team in the conference. And then talk about, and don't forget Texas. So, man, we got an unbelievable race. That's the good news. It's wide open to have a great season. The bad news, Kevin, it's like the NFL. every game's going to be close.
Yeah.
You almost every matchup, you look and you go, wow, that should be a good game. Doesn't matter if it's TCU or West Virginia or Oklahoma State. K-State's not good enough to just say, we got Colin Klein, it's 2012, and we're the best team. It's like, we're equal. Let's see who can go win this game. But it's exciting to be 3-0. Don't poo-poo away how good Stanford is, Kevin. They're a legitimate football team, so well coached. SIU is really good in the FCS, and Nevada and Boise State are two teams that are really good in the Mountain West Conference. K-State to be 3-0 right now is nothing to sneeze at. I am so excited that K-State's 3-0. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And Skylar Thompson will be back. He's going to come back, Kevin, and we'll see how he functions. But if he's anywhere near what he was, he has all the mental side that I talked about Will Howard having, and he just has more accuracy, more understanding of the passing game. And K-State will be able to throw the ball when they get Skylar Thompson back. And we'll see if Will Howard can outsmart him once in a while to get a big play to keep things going until he does.
Stan, great stuff as always. We look forward to the conference play starting in earnest in the Big 12, and we'll see how the Chiefs do against the Chargers this week. You're the best. I really appreciate you breaking it down for us, buddy.
Kevin, my pleasure, and we don't need to talk about it, but big, big, big game. You can talk about it in your podcast the rest of the week. Mizzou at Boston College.
Oh, yeah.
That game has heightened importance after Mizzou lost to Kentucky, and Boston College is undefeated right now. So that is a big-time game.
Yep. They had an easy walk over Southeast Missouri this week, and Connor Bazelak's looking pretty good, so we'll check the Tigers out too. Thank you, Stan, as always.
Okay, Kevin, take care.
All right, there is Stan Weber. He is the best anywhere on breaking down all the football, and his appearance is brought to you by ProPartnersHealthcare.com, a family practice in Leawood and the Northland with direct primary care, guaranteeing you fast access to your doctor for everyone in your family for one low fee. Check them out online at ProPartnersHealthcare.com. Dr. Troy Burns and his team of physicians will make your family very, very comfortable with the way they get you great primary care. ProPartnersHealthcare.com. 360 Document Solutions. Any business in Western Missouri or anywhere in the entire state of Kansas, Mark Lindquist and his team can help you become more efficient at your office with copiers, printers, IT solutions, phone systems, mailing systems, you name it. 360 Document Solutions will come out for free. Take a look at everything you're doing with your doc technology and IT programs. They'll review everything, including your current costs, and offer you a solution that'll bring you real tangible benefits for your organization. They're going to save you money, and they can get you out of the leases you're in now. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. Ron Buck and his team are available 24/7 for emergencies, or if you just want to get a free roof inspection, call Buck Roofing at 913-384-2680 and sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Gary Joslin and his team at Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Fall is the time to fall in love. That's what Gary's always said, and it's always true in the fall. And here we are reaching, it's almost fall, right? Is it Tuesday? Tuesday's the first day of fall, of autumn. I like that. Fall in love at Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslinsjewelry.com. Joslin's is the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Okay, there was a lot of other college football on Saturday to discuss. Not much to take away from the Kansas game. They lose 45-7 to Baylor, but this game was 14-7 at the half, and, you know, people don't really watch Kansas games. And so I ran into a lot of people on Sunday. We played a few holes of golf, and then we were at a watch party, and everybody's talking, oh, okay, you sure got killed. I said, yeah, but it was 14-7 at the half. There are no moral victories. I'm not sitting here, I'm not going to try to prop Kansas up. But there's a couple of things that are, I think, relatively important. But then there's also a big question to ask about Kansas. It's 14-7 at the half. So there's something good there. Kansas only had two penalties in the game for 20 yards. There's something good there. They committed their first turnover of the season, and it was a fumble. So there's something good there. The question I will ask after Kansas amassed only 166 yards of total offense in scoring 7 points against Baylor is, are they now playing it too safe? And I understand you take over and you want to drill into their head, we're not going to commit penalties. We're not going to turn the ball over. We are not going to beat ourselves. That message is strong, and it's clearly getting through to the players at Kansas. And you're probably feeling pretty good at 14-7 at the half. When the end result is 45-7, the players start asking questions, are we trying enough on offense? Shouldn't we be taking a few more chances? Are we playing this too safe? I don't have the answer for Kansas at this point. I think the most important thing for Leipold is to get in there and teach them to not commit penalties and to not turn the ball over. I think that is job one anytime you're taking over a bad program. We got to do the single most important thing, and that is first and foremost, don't beat yourself. The Chiefs beat themselves yesterday, right? We believe that. The fumble caused the game. A silly little fumble where ball security was not very important, apparently, to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was not, you know, holding out in his hand, but he wasn't covering it up. That was an easy strip. I mean, he just kind of reached in. It wasn't like some massive punch. You have to take care of the football. And Kansas is, by and large, doing that. Now I think it's time to ask, okay, we're in the Big 12. Do we need to try a little harder offensively to maybe throw the ball, do some misdirection, maybe a gadget play here or there? We may turn the ball over. It may be a little riskier, but we got to try to make some plays because ultimately, if you're 14-7 at the half and you go out and make a couple three plays in the second half, you have a chance to win a game. And Kansas didn't do that, and they wind up getting blown out. Missouri has an easy day with SEMO, Connor Bazelak, 346 yards passing, and as Stan Weber just mentioned, they got a big one coming up against Boston College and then it's back into the SEC. There's a lot to like with Missouri. You know, even in their loss to Kentucky, they just kept coming back and scoring touchdowns, and Bazelak is becoming a real player. What they don't do well is stop the run, and they didn't stop Southeast Missouri from running the football. And I think this is the biggest question of all for the Missouri Tigers is, are they going to develop some run defense? Because if they don't, teams in the SEC will just line up and gash them. And you can see that coming if they don't shore this up. They didn't really make a lot of progress against a lesser opponent this week, and I think that's disappointing for Missouri. Look, it's an easy win. It's an easy opponent. The offense went up and down the field. That's all great. Missouri has to stop the run, and they didn't stop the run against SEMO, and I think that's a big question mark. Nebraska took Oklahoma down to the final seconds of that game. That was surprising to everyone, and it almost felt like if Nebraska's kicking game weren't as bad as it is, they might have won that game. Now, a lot of things change if you don't get the kick block and the return, and you don't miss a field goal and the things that Nebraska did in that game. A lot of things change. Oklahoma plays the game differently if they're behind, certainly. So you don't really know the outcome. But Oklahoma is showing signs that they're not as good as previous Oklahoma teams. Now, it could absolutely still be too early in the season to draw any conclusions on Oklahoma. And we see pretty dramatic turnarounds from game one to game two to game three. And maybe Nebraska is showing that. Maybe this was about Nebraska, but maybe it's about Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a 22-point favorite. They only scored 23. So pretty hard to cover that number. This had to be disappointing for Oklahoma. Maybe they thought it was going to be easy. Maybe they're looking past it. I don't know. But as the Big 12 starts, the Big 12 right now looks like, as Stan just said, that there's no great team, but a whole bunch of good teams. And there's going to be a whole bunch of close games that come down to the final moments. It could be a very exciting Big 12 year. West Virginia's off to a good start. You know, there's been some teams show well that, hey, we could be part of this. Nobody's given up on Iowa State because they lost to Iowa. Nobody's given up on Oklahoma because they only beat Nebraska 23-16. Texas has elite athletes all over the field. Oklahoma State is a different kind of team this year, but maybe they're just going to line up and win. I think this will be a very telling game this week, K-State and Oklahoma State. West Virginia got a really nice win over Virginia Tech, 27-21. So it's going to be a fun Big 12 season. It looked for a moment like the SEC might have the apple cart upset on Saturday. In the swamp, at Florida. Florida outstatted Alabama. They did a lot of things really well in that game. They had more total yards. They had a costly turnover and stayed kind of a possession behind in this game. But they had the opportunity. They lose 31-29, does Florida, to Alabama. And Alabama probably feels like they a little bit got away with one. But they were playing with the lead. They were playing with the lead. It's just a great setting. I said to my wife as we're watching this, I said, there's no better place right now to be on the planet than right there in the swamp because the setting was just spectacular and the fans were having a blast and they wanted to win the game and it was just great. And then later in the evening, we saw Penn State hosting Auburn and those fans and the whiteout at Penn State. If you didn't get a chance to see this, go Google some highlights of this thing and take a look at what happened in Happy Valley. It was unbelievable at Penn State what happened in that game. the fans were just so completely into it. It was a wild setting. Penn State wins it 28-20 over Auburn in just as great a looking and exciting of a college football atmosphere and game you'll ever see. It was just a terrific weekend of football and in the NFL too. It has seemed like through a couple of weeks in the season that the high-profile games in college and pro that are on TV are the best games, that they've figured it out. We know which games are going to be the best, and they just have been. The Chiefs are just must-see TV. Every game they play is entertaining for the NFL, and they've been in two high-profile spots now to start the season out. But that Penn State-Auburn game was just sensational as well. Great start to the football season, and a great start to our week. Even though the Chiefs lost, Chargers are coming to town. It's a long, long, long NFL season. We know enough as Chiefs fans that you don't, that nothing happens the first two games. You start 1-1. Your season isn't even close to being decided. Chiefs have a long way to go and a lot of improvement to make. They're not where they need to be. The defense isn't where it needs to be. They got to figure out a running game. The Chiefs don't run the ball very effectively. There's a lot to figure out. I think they'll get there. I think the Chiefs will get better. The good news is you can still make a lot of mistakes in games as they did against the Browns and the Ravens and still win football games. This team could very easily be 2-0, and they weren't great in either game. They were probably better against the Ravens than they were the Browns, and they lost that game. So it's going to be a really fun season, and we all know that. It's all about getting really, really good for January, making sure you're healthy when that comes around, and the Chiefs still have everything in play. And we've got everything in play here at KKHI. Appreciate you listening to the podcast. Tell your friends about it. Don't forget to have them hit the like or follow button wherever they listen. That's very helpful and very important. We greatly appreciate that. Of course, we'll be doing some podcasts this week on a lot of things going on in the news and around the country after Joe Biden had just a horrendously bad week last week. We keep thinking one week after the next, he can't have a worse week. He just keeps piling on one bad week after another. But last week may have been his worst yet. Just a disastrous week for Joe Biden. So a lot going on in the news and a lot going on in the podcast. We'll be addressing it all this week right here on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.